Well, I guess in most time zones that we're in, it's Halloween now, isn't it? We're going to be back in a moment with the Ghostbuster gals, and we'll take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Laura Lee Mystica, Ronnie Renee Foster with us. And, of course, we'll take your calls, final hour with the Ghostbuster gals as well. So, for Halloween, what do you two dress up as, Ronnie?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
We will this year, because you know what? I always have a theme for my Halloween parties. And this year, last year it was come as a mystical forest creature, okay? And we had some very, very creative costumes. Well, this next year is come as what you want to be in your next life. So, you know, you could be a plant or an animal or a mystical creature or, you know, an angel. Ronnie, you could come as an angel.
Okay. part of the problem is I'm in Florida right now, and I fly back into Spokane, Washington, the day of the party. So maybe
she's
I'll come. It should be fun in a restaurant. Yeah.
Because she was going to come as a vet, a
veterinarian.
Animal vet.
That's what I wanted
to
be, but I became too empathic. You know, it's hard to be a veterinarian for me because of my empathic abilities. You know,
sure, so. I can understand that.
Yeah.
What about people who commit suicide? Where do they fit into this equation?
Oh, boy. You know, we found that probably 90% of the people that choose to end their own lives do not cross over. They get stuck, they become ghosts, and what's even worse is they literally get in this time loop where they have to repeat their death over and over and over again. So it's really like a hell, if you think about it. And the other thing is, you know, you never get away from your problems. They just don't go away. You can try to end your life now, this time, and you'll still have to come back and do the same thing over and over again. So we try to tell people, because, you know, we counsel a lot of clients, that there's always hope, even though it doesn't seem like it, and there's always a way out, and suicide isn't the answer. Now, the few times that I have dealt with people that have committed suicide that didn't get stuck, it's because they killed themselves with such thoughtfulness, not because they wanted out of the situation, but for their family. They had debilitating diseases that there was no cure for. And so, in fact, one that I'm thinking about, he set up this plastic around the, you know, area, and he wrote all these letters. And then when he killed himself, he did it right there on the plastic for his wife's sake, so she wouldn't have to watch him slowly go down the drain. And he got to cross. But normally, George, if they're in such emotional pain and they feel there's no hope and then they decide that's the way out, it does not work. And again, they repeat it. A friend of mine, in fact, killed himself by train, which is like terrible. Walking on the tracks, the train killed him, and again, repeated that scene over again and over again. So it's not a way out.
All right, let's take some phone calls. This hour's going to fly by here. We'll go to Sanger, California. Stephanie's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Stephanie, happy Halloween tomorrow, or today.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Great talking to you guys. And you just mentioned the part about the veterinarian, and my mom's a veterinarian. It's wonderful. But to get to my question, I was just wondering if you sense things. I don't see anything, but sometimes I sense them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you really combat that? Just meditation, or what can I do to kind of alleviate it?
Well, maybe you don't want to alleviate it. I know psychic abilities can be a double-edged sword. But one of the groups of people that I work with a lot are first wave indigos. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. If you go to firstwaveindigos.com, that's one of my websites. But these are people that have are very, very psychic. And what I try to help them do is, instead of shut it down, learn how to activate it and have command over it. And I think if you look at this ability that you have as something that could be good and useful, then you can start learning how to manage it instead of try to get away from it, because they usually don't go away. With first wave indigos, it scares people because they are so psychic, and so they will try to shut it down, but it always keeps popping back up again. So you might as well start now to learn how to manage it and make it work for you.
Yeah, because it's not going to go away. The veils are getting thinner and thinner, and more people are waking up to their psychic abilities, especially the first wave indigos. And we've had situations where we've gotten a lot of phone calls from people that have had these crazy paranormal experiences, and it frightens them, but we teach them how to use it to their advantage.
And when you talk about the veils are getting thinner, what does that mean, actually?
What does that mean?
Well, what it is, and this is how I feel it is like, as what I've experienced in several of my clients, too, especially the first wave indigos, is like interdimensional bleeding, where this dimension will kind of bleed through into another one. And I thought I was losing it like a week ago. I just felt really odd, and it was hard to maintain my balance and focus. And I went and checked the outdoor thermometer that lets me know what temperature is in the chicken cage, in the chicken house. And I looked at it, and it had been reset, and I hadn't set it for like 2 days. And I knew there's no ghost in here, and my husband didn't reset it. Nobody reset it, and I got the impression, I was holding that, and I'm like, okay, what happened here? And I was bleeding into another dimension where I did actually reset it, but not in this one. And it can make you feel like you're going crazy if you don't know what's happening. Go, oh, okay, now I get it. Take a breath, stabilize, and go, okay, we're doing some of that bleeding or transfer, and then just kind of go with it instead, because it's not, you can't make it not happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen more frequently. So the best thing to do is learn how to manage it. And there's things in our book that will help you learn how to manage that. And so to our caller, I would just suggest that you buy the book and start reading up and getting some of the tools that you're going to need for your future.
Let's go to our first-time caller in Elko, Wisconsin. Kevin's with us. Hey, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
Hey. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Kev. Thank you.
I got a question. I live in a house that's 100 years old. I've never had a problem with any types of ghosts or anything. Earlier this year, we stayed at the Stanley Hotel in Estes, Colorado, and we had some weird stuff happen to us. And now in the last couple of months since we've been home, there's been, like, weird stuff happening, loud noises, stuff being moved around. And is it possible that, you know, maybe something followed us home?
Yeah.
Hitchhikers, they happen.
Yes, it's possible. That happens quite often, that somehow you or someone in the family picks something up. But it usually, if there's a resonation with the ghost and the living person, they'll hop on. And that's kind of like what a shove-on is. We talked about the shove-ins a lot, but the shove-on just kind of pops into your field and then hitches a ride with you and now has a new place to live.
How do you cleanse a house?
Well, witchy woman has her witch wolves, and she uses it. And we both use a lot of the same things. And it depends on what you're cleansing it from. You can't use something like sage or smudging, which is a Native American tool that we use, to get rid of ghosts. It does not work, but it will cleanse the house of negative energies that are created from
emotional. Well, now, what's the difference? What's the difference between a ghost and some kind of negative energy?
Well, the negative energies are created from sometimes drugs and alcohol, fighting, arguments, you know, things like that will form this negative blob, I guess I could say, of energy that can affect behavior. And even in bars, you know, there's a lot of negative energy that people can pick up in a bar and take home with them. And by smudging and doing prayers and using intention, you can clear that and clean that. But it's not going to help a ghost. A ghost might go outside for a while, you know, and then come back in. So the reason, one of the reasons we wrote our book is to help people themselves, empower them to clean and clear and ghost bust. So we have a do-it-yourself ghost busting guide in there because there are so many ghosts and we want people to be able to do it themselves.
Is it safe to do it yourself if you're not really experienced?
It is if you follow our protocol, because we tell people you must use prayers of protection. So that is a good question, too. We don't want people jumping into it, but we lead them through it with prayers of protection. We also use this special rock that Laura Lee mentioned before, Almorocyte rock. We don't do ghost bustings without it because it helps us clear everything and get right to where we need to be and communicate with that ghost as clear as possible.
Because
so there are tools.
It's the stone of truth and justice. So when we use this rock, we can get right, you know, cut through the chase and get to the bottom line a lot quicker. We've tried doing ghost bustings without the Almorocyte rock, and it was horrible. It was like walking through jello, and we were exhausted after, I mean, more tired than normal, and we both fell into a comatose sleep after, and we thought we will never do that again. So before, when we do remote ghost bustings, we will send them out free of charge, some of these little grid rocks to grid their house or their property before we'll even work with them, because it makes that much of a difference.
Okay, let's go to Jacksonville, Florida, as we go all around North America. Keegan is with us. Keegan, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I got two quick questions and a comment I'd like to make.
Okay.
My first question is, do you know anything about a being known as a watcher? When I was younger, I saw something that I call it bats that was about 10 feet tall, red glowing eyes staring at me from my bedroom window when I was a kid.
Hmm.
I have no idea how to explain it other than that. My other question was, how does one get into something like what you do? And my comment was, I have ran into something that you have talked about, the shove-ins, but I call them walk-ins. And from what my experiences are, there are 3 to 4 different types of them. There is the parasitic, there's the symbiotic, demonic, and I don't know how to describe the fourth one. I'd just like to know your comment about something.
Yeah, the walk-ins now, and it talks about this in the book, there's a difference between a walk-in and a shove-in. First wave indigos are walk-ins, and there is a mutual agreement with the body that a certain time in that life that the resident being said, okay, I'm done with the body, and instead of the body dying, a first wave indigo would walk in and take over. And it's all prearranged and it's all agreed upon. Now, that's way different than a shove-in that just kind of tries to push you out and take over. So that's kind of how we see that. And it's more, if you read the book, there's a more extensive explanation. Now, your being with red eyes, I have heard of other people who have witnessed that. There's so much out there, not in just this plane, but in the universe, and now we've got interdimensional bleeding. There's so much that is named and unnamed, and I guess for you, it's if this thing still scares you or you know, you feel anxiety when you think about this being, is to do some kind of a disconnection protocol, and we have some on the First Wave Indigo website and also in our book for you to do that. And then what was the other question?
Well, how do you get into the business of ghost
busting? How do you get in the business? Go ahead, Ronnie. You tell
Yeah, again,
That was quite accidental.
By accident.
But there's like a need. There's such a need for it. And the thing that's important to understand is, depending on the ghost, a lot of ghosts feed on fear. They want to scare you because that's what they feed on. And so Laura-Lee and I use a lot of humor. Our book is, it's not that, it's scary in some places, but there's a lot of humor in there because humor raises the vibration and it helps us get through what we need to get through. So just as a little tidbit of advice for people that are listening, if you do come across something that scares you, do some deep breathing, start laughing, raise your vibration, and bring to mind something that you love. It could be a person, it could be a pet, just something that you love, because love is the highest frequency there is, and that will just get rid of that entity. It won't feed it, and you'll feel a lot better.
All right, we go now to Glenda in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Glenda, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, Glenda.
Great. It's funny that you mentioned that if you bring in the highest dimension of love, that it can disperse negative energy in other beings. The question I have is, if you're mentioning your tools and you carry tools, are they something that you carry with specific meaning to yourself, or what you think might have specific meaning to the ghosts?
Based great on that question, Glenda. Glenda,
that's a really good witch question.
Yeah, because it's both. I was doing a ghost busting at a big mansion in Spokane, and my angel said to me, bring your medicine necklace. And it was a necklace given to me by a medicine man, a Native American. And I didn't want to bring it because it was big and awkward looking and looked funny. And they said, bring your necklace. Like, oh, God. So I brought it and didn't realize that as I was busting the outside of that mansion, there was a lot of Native American energy there. And, you know, they made me put it on, and I felt so funny and dumb, but I did it. And if I did not have that necklace on, there was a Native chief there. He wouldn't have recognized me. He wouldn't have talked to me. He wouldn't have paid attention to me. But because I had this power necklace on, he gave me the time of day, so to speak, and I was able to help him cross. So, yes, some of the tools have to do with the ghosts that we're working with, and then some of our favorite things. I use a lot of crystals, and of course, I use the little black rock that I used to think was funny. But it works.
Rock.
Her little black stone of truth is very, 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 very powerful.
All right, you two stay with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, on our next Coast to Coast program, it's Ghost to Ghost. So make sure you're part of the program. If you're home, shut your lights off. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with the Ghostbuster gals right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with the Ghostbuster gals. We'll take your calls in a second. Laura, is it easier to communicate with spirits during seasons like Halloween?
Well, theoretically, yes. Because this time of year is supposed to be a time when the veils are the thinnest. And traditionally, there have been traditions all over the world where they actually look forward to this because they can communicate with their deceased family members or friends and actually set places for the table, you know, at the table for them and have like a real good conversation with, you know, somebody that, sure, that's crossed over. And I find myself, you know, I think that you can be so in tune that it doesn't, you don't need to have this time of year, but I think it's good for people who are maybe just starting, if you want to start learning how to communicate with deceased people or animals. I used to have parties, well, I still have parties, but on one of them, what we did before the party got started is that we sat down and did a meditation and communicated with
someone or something that had crossed over. And one guy communicated with his dog, and he started to break down and cry. And it was a very thought-provoking and very emotional time, because a lot of people got amazing insights from people who had crossed over. And there were some of them that didn't even want to talk about it because it surprised them so much. And so to answer your question, yeah, I agree that it probably is.
Okay, let's go take some final calls now. We're going to go to our Skype line. That takes us to Italy. Clarice, you're with us. Hi there, Clarice.
Yes, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
I was listening earlier that she mentioned that somehow a bleeding of dimension happened, where in one dimension she must have adjusted a thermostat. And I had experienced something all my life, starting at a very young age, where I see a house in a village. I can describe it internal and external. And I kept having this dream-type vision when I was a kid, and it went away. Well, now I'm in Italy. We went on a holiday last year into Germany, and when we were coming out of Innsbruck going into the mountains, we came upon a village, and I became very upset, nauseated, and I, as you can tell, nervous right now recalling it. And I asked my husband, I said, pull over, and he said, what's wrong? And I said, I need to get out of the car. There's a church up here. I have to go to that church. And there used to be roads around this church, but they blocked it off. And I said, there used to be a road here. And he said, when did you come here? And we went down the road behind the church, took a left and a right, and the very house that I had seen as a child in a vision, because I was living in America, in Alabama, It was that house.
Wow.
And the nausea did not go away until we walked around the property, and then it was abandoned. And I haven't had any of those experiences before or after, only that place. And I just could not tell you how I knew it. I knew where it was, and I'd never been there before.
Sometimes that can also be a past life experience. We call it past life, but we've come to understand that really there is no time, except that we experience it in third dimension, but beyond third dimension, it doesn't exist. So there's also bleed through, not just of dimensions, but of lives that we're living simultaneously. And we've had quite a few clients have that type of experience where a so-called past memory has come through into this life, and it's very similar to what you're explaining.
How frustrated will both of you be, Laura and Ronnie, if the afterlife didn't exist? It was just a figment of our imaginations.
Well, we'd be dead and it wouldn't matter.
That's so true.
But you know what? I don't think that's possible. I mean, you know, I do hospice work, and I work with Dan and Brinkley, who's been there three times, and we deal with ghosts. I mean, it just couldn't happen. I mean, who are these people that we're talking to and giving us information that we'd have no way of knowing unless it really did exist? I don't think we could make this stuff up.
You feel the same way, Laura?
Yeah, it's... I tell myself many, many times that the stuff that is happening is so crazy, you just can't make it up. And there's too much evidence and scientific evidence of other dimensions and other places, and this 3D world is very, I think, minuscule, actually, compared to everything that's out there in the universe. So, yeah, I'd have to say that yeah, I would be really surprised if there was nothing on the other side, but then it's like Ronnie said, we'd be dead and we wouldn't care.
That's true. Let's go to Pete in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Pete. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, George. A brief opinion on remote viewing and then a question.
Sure.
With remote viewing, due to this radio program, I started that many years ago. It opened up worlds I could not imagine. But in my opinion, it's very dangerous. I was visited. I was attacked by some type of entity afterwards, even when I stopped remote viewing. I think it opens up something, and the visitation's much easier by these entities once you start remote viewing. Now, my question is, how do you determine what you're attacked by? What are the differences between a ghost, an incubus, succubus, demon, or an alien visitation?
All right. Which one of you two wants that? Ronnie?
I'll let her do the weird stuff of that, but I will say that, you know, we don't actually use remote viewing, because I also find that with remote viewing, depending on who you are and the frequency that you travel at, you can remote view many, many different probabilities, because there is no future. The future absolutely does not exist. We create it as we go. So this is a little bit different, and we always do protection protocols before we send our consciousness anywhere to protect ourselves. So that's critical. And I'll let Laurie talk about the other weird stuff.
All these other entities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said before, there is so much out there. You have to be kind of ready for anything. And as you get more, I guess, psychically aware, you can kind of discern. In the beginning, it was kind of hard for us, and after we got more history under our belt and more experience, we kind of could categorize things. But I am still finding things that I'm going, where the heck did that come from, and what am I going to do with it now? And so it's just kind of a process. There's no rules. That's one thing I know about this work. There are no rules, and there's no one size fits all, because as soon as you think you have it figured out, something will come in. You'll go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Well, where do we put that? And so it's just a process. So I would say to you, the caller, just go deep inside to your own intuition. That's how you're going to figure this out. Yes, you can ask other people and get their opinions, but ultimately you have to go inside yourself to decipher how you think it is. And then leave it open-ended, because you may get new information to add what you already have to make it make more sense and open up to a new scale, a new scope of vision. So I guess just be open, and if you're afraid about what's happening with remote viewing, I would back off a little bit, get your tools together, and then start maybe going in one step at a time and doing it a little bit slower.
Good advice, Laura. Let's go to Katie now, Denver, Colorado. Hi, Katie. Go ahead.
Hi, ladies. You guys are absolutely delightful, first of all.
Oh, thank you.
I've just really gotten a kick out of this show. This is not necessarily a ghost story, but kind of an interesting thing that it's a story and then a question. So at the age of 15, I sensed that I had some sort of an angel or an entity around me, but because of my religious background, I was afraid of it. And many years later, I'm 50 now, when I was in my early 30s, I was going through a divorce, and I began to kind of wake up and study and understand that there are, of course, lots of things that are unseen. And so I was introduced to my spirit guide, or angel, or whatever you want to call it. So my spirit guide was very, and still is, just always with me. If I need help, if I need guidance, I always, you know, put light around myself and ask, you know, for those that come to me for my highest good. Well, I was going through a very negative experience with my now ex-husband, who is a very intimidating, somewhat violent person, and I had to go and meet with him to settle some financial matters in our divorce. And my spirit guide came to me, and he, of course, like I said, I'd gotten to know him over the years. He was an ancient Celtic warrior. And he literally, and I know this sounds crazy, but he literally asked my permission to come into my body and
to meet my ex-husband with me. I know that sounds
crazy. No, that sounds awesome. Okay,
sounds great.
Actually, it was an extremely, and this never has happened before or since, but it was an extremely powerful feeling. It was almost as if, I mean, when I was driving to meet my ex, and this is, you know, and I'm meditating in the car, right, asking for help, and he just said, may I come into your body? I won't hurt you. I just want to come in. I want to see through your eyes. I want to breathe, and I will help you with this man. And he did. I said, yes, you may. And it was like, I mean, I was driving down a street that I've driven down my whole life, and it was like I was seeing it for the first time.
Why did you let him in?
Why did I let him in?
Yeah.
Because I felt that he would protect me. Like I said, my ex was a somewhat violent person if he didn't get his way. Yeah, and I was going to meet him alone. And I was, you know, it was a very tense situation. And I really felt like I needed protection.
All right, Ronnie and Laura, what about deception? What if these beings, these entities trick you?
Well, the first thing is he asked her permission. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, beings could still protect, you know, still be a shyster and ask your permission.
Sure.
But the results were good. He asked permission. She went through she had her conversation with her ex. Nobody was hurt. And then this, your spirit guide left after that. Is that correct?
The interesting thing was, is when I was sitting across from my ex-husband in his office, he could even see that something was different. And mm-hmm. he kept looking at me like, because I had a power that I had never had before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was more intimidating.
To him.
To him.
Yeah.
And it was because of this spirit guide. And I know that just sounds bizarre.
No.
I truly felt like this being was just physically experiencing this situation with me. And then as it was over and it was resolved, you know, peacefully, he signed the papers, we went our separate ways, of course it all worked out, and you know, here it is years later.
Wow.
But it was just a really amazing experience, and I don't know how to, what would you call that, a shove in, or I don't really understand.
No,
what
that would be more like a step in, where he stepped in to help you out and then stepped back out.
Or one of those walk-ins.
Yeah, I would
walk
call
in
one
usually more,
in
a little more permanent. But yeah, I can understand as an empath, I can feel what you were going through, Katie, at the time, and I can feel the difference when this guy actually moved in. We don't recommend that in general. But I think it's because you've had experience with this particular guide for so long that it was so familiar. And sometimes you can tell if something is benevolent or if it isn't. You know, you go right into your heart. I go into my heart. Some people go into their gut and see how it feels. And if it feels warm and fuzzy and light and love and wonderful, that's okay. And if it feels a little sticky and your hairs on the back of your neck are standing up and you're getting a little nauseous, you got to protect yourself. And if you keep your frequency high with the love vibration, there is no negative thing that can step into that. That's why people don't have to be afraid. Move into that love frequency, and then you will not be bothered by anything dark or negative, because they can't stand to be in that energy.
Let's see if we can squeeze Mitch in from Seattle. Go ahead, Mitch. You with us? Yep, go ahead, Mitch.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Mitch here.
Hey, Mitch.
Oh, Mitch Batchress.
Yes.
Hey, Mitch.
Yes. Hi, Laura Lee.
You know Mitch, too?
Hi. Oh, gosh, we've gone back. We shared, four, five, six Halloweens together. It was wonderful.
We did. Mitch had a great show.
First reunion.
Absolutely. And I'm listening to you, and you're growing and expanding and sounding absolutely wonderful. What caught my ear the most were people asking about rips or tears. Mm-hmm. what was another word that was used?
Interdimensional.
And leaks.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of some of our conversations about magnetics. I'm getting closer and closer and closer, I'm out to the Milky Way now. Gone beyond the sun, and I'm out into the Milky Way, and it's
and on your way.
Together.
And you know, Mitch, your timing's always impeccable. We're out of time.
Oh, no. We love Mitch.
I just want to say I give my full support to you, too. We've had just so much fun, and I really admire what you're doing, and I can hear the growth and the direction. This is something that's going to be needed as this process moves on.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, there's no doubt. Mitch, thank you so much. Mitch was on with us last night during the Hurricane Sandy coverage. Great guy. Both of you, Ronnie and Laura, thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasore, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.